open our Bible class with number 5. Thou whose almighty word chaos and darkness heard and took their flight, hear us, we humbly pray, and where the gospel day sheds not its glorious ray, let there be light. Number 5. Gather and seek the Lord's face in prayer. We bow in thy presence again tonight, and we thank thee that our heart's desire is to be with thee for this season, and our heart's desire is that thou shouldest speak to us through the sacred word of truth, that the Spirit of God may meet with us afresh tonight. And as we give ourselves to the teaching of the Holy Scriptures, we pray that the Spirit of God will open up the sacred word to our hearts. We thank thee, Father, through our oft coming to the word over perhaps a long period of years. The Spirit of God has fastened many verses upon our minds, and many truths upon our hearts, and we thank thee those verses have remained, and those truths have guided us down through the years of our journey. And our Father, we thank thee that the pathway of the child of God can be guided by the word, and we thank thee that the Holy Scriptures can be our textbook every day, that we can refer to on every given subject and every given situation. And we pray tonight as we turn to it that we may become more fully taught, more better taught, more deeply taught. And we ask our Father that whatever else we may gain or fail to gain in this present life and in this world, we ask especially that we may be taught of the Lord and led by the Spirit into all truth. And so tonight we seek thy help and thy blessing. We pray that thou would remember those that are sick and those unable to be with us. May they have a blessing. And as we come later to prayer, may there be a sense of the outpouring of the Spirit of grace and supplication, so that we may call together upon the name of the Lord. Now, Father, we place ourselves in thy hand for this season, returning our thanks through our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, we turn for a reading of Scripture to 2 Chronicles chapter 4. 2 Chronicles chapter 4. And we read from verse 2 of the chapter. 2 Chronicles 4 verse 1, we were reading there and studying last week upon the brazen altar. Now we come to the brazen sea, verse 2. Also he made a molten sea of 10 cubits from brim to brim, round in compass, and 5 cubits the height thereof, and a line of 30 cubits did compass it round about. And under it was the similitude of oxen, which did compass it round about. 10 in a cubit, compassing the sea round about, 2 rows of oxen were cast when it was cast. It stood upon 12 oxen, 3 looking toward the north, and 3 looking toward the west, and 3 looking toward the south, and 3 looking toward the east. And the sea was set above upon them, and all their hinder parts were inward. And the thickness of it was an handbreadth, and the brim of it like the work of the brim of a cup, with flowers of lilies, and it received and held 3,000 baths. He made also 10 lavers, and put 5 on the right hand and 5 on the left, to wash in them such things as they offered. For the burnt offering they washed in them, but the sea was for the priests to wash in. And he made 10 candlesticks of gold according to their form, and set them in the temple, 5 on the right hand and 5 on the left. He made also 10 tables and placed them in the temple, 5 on the right side and 5 on the left. And he made 100 basins of gold. Furthermore, he made the court of the priests, and the great court and the doors for the court, and overlaid the doors of them with brass. And he set the sea on the right side of the east end over against the south. Now the Lord will bless the reading. That will suffice us tonight for the reading of Scripture at the present. Now tonight we come to the study of the brazen sea in our study on the series in Solomon's Temple. And I would say the brazen sea, I've set the model here, right here at the front, for you to see more vividly and clearly. I would say it's one of the fascinating studies of the furniture of Solomon's Temple. I remember whenever I was making this model of the brazen sea with the 12 oxen, I found it possibly the most difficult of the articles to get accomplished. To begin with, I had to give a detailed study of the chapter. Well, one can do that after a little time. But then I wanted to get a picture of it in my mind, what exactly this was like. And so I turned up this encyclopedia and I turned up that encyclopedia, and one after the other just gave no photographs at all and no pictures. Then eventually I did come and one after a lot of time and research. But I am fairly satisfied tonight that the model we have at the front is fairly close. Not perfect. 1 or 2 things lacking. But nevertheless, as near as I was able to get. Now I'm going to take the brazen sea here for a moment, and I'm going to try to describe it for you. In other words, I'm going to try to give you some of the detail of the brazen sea
And I want you here to keep your Bible open at 2 Chronicles 4. And we'll try and follow the teaching here. Now, the first thing here about the dimensions of the brazen sea, we notice in verse 2, is the diameter of the sea. And it says he made the molten sea of 10 cubits from brim to brim. Now, a cubit is roughly 1 foot 6 inches, 18 inches, and so here the diameter of the sea would be 15 feet, from 15 feet right across from brim to brim. Then if you look back into the verse here, you'll see next the height of the brazen sea, that is the depth of place for the water. And it says in verse 2, and it shall be 5 cubits in the height. And so we find that the depths of the brazen sea containing the water here was 7.5 feet. So I have it 15 feet abroad, and I have it 7.5 feet in depth. Then I come here to the circumference of the sea, again in verse 2. And it says here, 30 cubits did compass it round about. You'll find that at the end of verse 2. So that tells me that the circumference was something like 45 feet, right round here, round the outside. Now we have to drop down the chapter to come to verse 5 in order to get the thickness of this container for the water of the sea here. And the thickness was an handbreadth. And that is reckoned by authorities to be something like 3.5 inches. So there you have the diameter, and you have the depths, and you have the circumference, and you have also got the thickness of the lip or the edge. Now there was a lot of ornamentation, very beautiful ornamentation, on the brazen altar. And we come down to verse 5, and the latter part of the verse, it says the brim of it was like the work of the brim of a cup with flowers of lilies. Now, we had to do our best, of course, to work an ornamentation here, but there was the design of lilies right round the brim of it. And then in verse 3, there was also the similitude of oxen, 18 inches worked right round, 2 rows of oxen worked right round into the ornamentation. So you can gather from this article of furniture that it had been a very beautiful one, and it had been very detailed, and it had been very, very thorough. Now I look in just for one or more two things here. We're finished on the detail. It says here about the capacity of this brazen sea, that in verse 5, the end, it held 3,000 baths. Now, a bath is something like 7 or 7.5 gallons of water. So it had a capacity for over 22,000 gallons. And I understand that with the weight of brass or the bronze, plus the water, when it was all together and was weather assessed, the whole thing could come up to something like 100 ton weight. So it'll give you some idea of the massiveness and the grandeur of this brazen sea that sat over there in the court of the priest beside the altar. Now we just look for one more moment here at another thing that we want, and we've got all our detail. And that is the 12 oxen. Now it says here in verse 4, the sea stood upon 12 oxen. And there's one thing to mark about the oxen. 3 were looking north, 3 were looking south, 3 were looking west, and 3 were looking east. And so you have the idea of a world vision there. North, south, east, and west, all looking out to the uttermost parts of the earth, so to speak. But we'll bring out the spiritual implications of that in a few moments. Now, before we come to grasp with three things tonight that I'm taking for our study, the first thing we have got to do is to try to assess something of the spiritual teaching or application of the Brazen Sea. And those of you who are familiar, not with the temple perhaps, but with the tabernacle, well, remember there were also two articles in the outer court. There was the altar and there was the laver of the sea. And you remember how that we saw last Wednesday night that the altar spoke of the cross, of sacrifice, of the surrendering up of the life to God, and it spoke of atonement and cleansing by the precious blood and so on. Now I turn to the Brazen Sea, and I ask myself, what was the purpose in the sea? Now if you have your Bible open and look down to verse 6, you'll find why the priests used it. It says in the latter part of the verse, but the sea was for the priests to wash in. So the sea was used, this huge sea was used for the priests that worked at the altar, the brazen altar with the ashes and the sacrifices, to come and wash at the sea with the huge amount of water within. Now we come to the main point, and it's this: what spiritual application do we give to the sea? What other cleansing, apart from the precious blood of Jesus, does the great brazen sea, with its thousands of gallons of water, what other form of cleansing does it speak of? Now, we're going to turn to two scriptures in the New Testament, and we'll find a brief answer. First of all, here, in John 15, we have a very obvious one, and verse 2, verse 3. John 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And then verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now sometimes our cleansing is through the blood. At other times the Bible speaks of our cleansing through the book or through the word. And we know that the Word of God can have a cleansing effect upon our lives. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians, and we're looking here at chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And in verse 9, know ye not the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, and so on. Verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. And so the gospel had come to the Corinthian sinner, and had washed them as white as snow. And the word of God through the lips of Christ had come to the early disciples as believers, and had cleansed and purified their lives. So I see a great double cleansing here tonight. I see the gospel of the grace of God, the good news of the gospel, cleansing and purifying, cleaning up a man's life and a man's heart as nothing else will do it. And then on the other hand, when I have already come and through the gospel my life has been cleaned up, then I can know the power of the word. Daily, as a believer priest, I can come to the great brazen sea, so to speak, and my life can be cleansed continually with the cleansing, purging power of the precious word of God. Now, that opens up the thought tonight that I'm going to follow with you. We're going to look at the brazen sea in 2 Chronicles 4 as a figure and a picture of the cleansing power, not of the precious blood, but rather of the precious word of God. Now, we have three things tonight to handle. And the first thing that I'm going to do is this: I'm going to take the sea. And we're going to look at that, number one, first of all, as a figure or a picture of the Word of God. Then secondly, we're going to remove the sea and we're going to look at the 12 oxen. And I'm going to see them tonight with you as a figure or a picture of the servants of God. And we'll see scripture to bear that out just presently. Then thirdly, we're going to come back to the priests. And we're going to see them as a figure or a picture of the children of God, or the people of God. So we have three things tonight. We have the sea and the oxen and the priests that washed at the sea. And the three things are a threefold picture: the word of God, the servants of God, and the people of God. And what we're going to see tonight is the cleansing power of the word of God through the servants of God for the people of God as they sit under the cleansing, purifying ministry of God's own holy sacred word of truth. Now that very briefly is opening up the subject for us tonight. Now the first thing we'll come to straight away here is the brazen sea of the word of God. Now already we have seen something of the wonders of the temple, the massive stone foundations, and the ascent by which we should go up to the house of the Lord. And we saw another night for the moving of all the barriers and the obstacles, and the way opened right up by our Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing and wonderful things we've seen there. But when we come to the brazen sea, I am sure of this, the priest that wandered at the ascent and the foundational stones and the vast courts must often have stood in the court of the priest and wondered at the great brazen sea as a tower there, away high above him, beside the brazen altar and before the temple. Now there are a number of things that I'm going to take out and show you here from the brazen sea. And the first thing that I will notice here tonight is the depths of the sea. 7.5 feet in depth. And if you can imagine that, standing there up above the priest, before the priest, and as he looked at it and saw that depth of sea there, that depth of water, I'm sure he must have felt like crying out to himself, "Oh, the depths of that great brazen sea as it sits there on the 12 oxen in the court. Oh, the depths." I imagine also, as he came to the brazen sea and saw Ben in turn upon the 12 oxen, possibly sitting somewhere about 12 or 13 feet high altogether, towering away above him, I'm sure he must have felt like crying out, "Oh, the height of that brazen sea." And I'm sure also, as he looked upon it and thought of 15,000 to 20,000 more gallons in the great brazen sea, he must have cried out, "Oh, the fullness that's in that brazen sea. Thousands upon thousands. What a fullness of cleansing and waters here." And I'm sure also, as he came down to the oxen, because it is thought the water came out through the mouths of the oxen, and the priest came to the mouth of the oxen with the water poured out and cleansed and washed himself, I'm sure he must have cried out, "Oh, the force and the power behind that water as it makes its way down through 15,000 gallons, such a head of water behind it. Oh, the force and the power." And so we could go on tonight there. But what am I getting at? I'm getting at this, dear soul, that as I come to God's precious word of truth, I too stand before my Bible, God's revealed word, And I feel often like crying out, as the priest did about his brazen sea, all the depths of the precious truth of God's word. And I feel like crying out all the heights of that inspired word of God. And as I look into it, I feel like crying out all the fullness of that blessed book, that word of God. As I take it every way, I see in the brazen sea a replica of my Bible. On one hand I see the brazen sea, and the other I see the inspired word. And I see the one as a figure and a picture of the other. You know, my dear friend, it must have been wonderful for the high priest or the priest to come and wash himself in as the water poured itself out. He might have stood there and cried, oh, the cleansing of this water, of this brazen sea.
This is the end of track one. Please turn your tape now.
Come and wash himself here as the water poured itself out. He might have stood there and cried, oh, the cleansing of this water, of this brazen sea. And I too come, and I can speak of the depths and the fullness and the height and the cleansing and the power and the force of God's precious word of truth. As it pours out to my soul, that priest stood in a mere brazen sea of brass and water. I stand tonight before the inspired word of God. And in that, a faint, poor resemblance of the great cleansing sea of God's precious word of truth. I look at this brazen sea, and I study up a little about where the water came from and what they did, and I understand that every night this great brazen sea was drained, and every morning this great brazen sea was filled, so that the water that came from it was fresh, always fresh. And as the priest came and washed, as the water came through, he could cry out, oh, the freshness of this cleansing stream. And you know, dear friends, it's the same when I come to God's sacred word. I find it fresh, I find it new. Never a time do I open up these holy scriptures, but I find them fresh for my soul. Isn't it wonderful just to look at that brazen sea where the priest washed, and to know that I can come and wash in the water of the Word of God and find the freshness and the fullness and the vastness and the greatness of the Word of the living God, where I can cleanse my soul and my life continually and daily before God. And so there we have the first thing tonight, the brazen sea itself. And we find the cleansing power, the vast ocean of cleansing there was for the priests at the sea. Now I want you to come for the second thing tonight. And the second thing is the 12 oxen or the servants of God. Now, the 12 oxen, we'll just remove the sea that you can see them a little better here. We have the 12 oxen set in a little base. And the 12 oxen, by some of the Jewish authorities, they would have seen that as figuring the 12 tribes. And as the 12 oxen bore the sea, so the 12 tribes were bearing aloof a testimony for God, a testimony in Israel. And so the Jews would look at the 12 oxen as representing the 12 tribes. Some will come over into the New Testament and look at the 12 oxen as a figure of the 12 apostles, also carrying and shouldering the responsibility of the witness of God and of the Word of God before the nations and the early church. That's how some interpret. I'm rather inclined to take it a little further. And I would see the 12 oxen tonight as a live figure or picture, not just of the ancient tribes or the later apostles, but all the true servants of God that are seeking to shoulder and carry and bear the word of God and to carry out that testimony to the nations. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians 9, and we're looking here just at a verse or two to support this. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and verse 9. Now Paul here in chapter 9 is speaking about the right of ministerial support and support for the servants of God. And then he says in verse 9, it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. Does God take care for oxen? Or sets he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt. And then verse 11, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, it's a great thing. Is it a great thing? We shall reap your carnal things. In other words, he's just pleading here for support. Likening the oxen that tread out the corn, that did the work, to the servants of God, and they were not to be muzzled, were to have their support. And so I see the 12 oxen as a figure or picture of the servants of God. Now, you've seen the sea. And you've seen in this sea the depths and the height and the fullness, and you've seen something of the vastness and the freshness and the cleansing power and the force behind it all. And you've seen in living picture a witness to the Word of God. But I come to the 12 oxen, and let me just show you very simply what happened with them underneath the brazen sea. According to the Jewish authorities, the oxen, first of all, the first thing they did, there was the taking in of the water as it poured out of the sea down into the oxen to go out through the mouths. There was the taking in. And then the next thing there was the pouring out. The pouring out as the water poured itself through the mouths. You've seen it often. You've gone to fountains. Perhaps you've gone to some seaside place. You've seen the head of lions maybe in the water pouring through the mouth. And this is what was happening here. And so first they drank it in as it poured itself in from the sea. And then they gave it out through the mouths. And then I want you to notice a third thing. They were looking north, south, east, and west. They had a world vision. And then at the same time, the sea was resting upon them as if they were bearing it up and would bear it to the nations. My friend, in those oxen tonight, and I've sat this week patiently pondering every line of this, and I said, oh God, what a picture so early given of what the servants of God should be. They should first of all be taking it in, drinking it in from the vast reservoir of God's Word. And then secondly, they should be pouring it out. And then thirdly, they should have a world vision, looking north, south, east, and west. And then at the same time, bearing up and shouldering and carrying the word of God to the nations. What a picture tonight. In the first place, the sea, a picture of the word of God, its cleansing powers. And the 12 oxen, the servants of God, shouldering their responsibilities, drinking in the word, pouring it out, and at the same time a world vision, as if they want to reach the world with the word of God. My dear friend, the Spirit of God, it seems to me, was early seeking to get figure and type before the minds of men, that they may see exactly what was their responsibility with the word of God. And you know, the child of God and the servant of God has got to drink it in from the great reservoir of the word. And the child of God, like the oxen mouths, should be pouring it out. And the servant of God, like the oxen, should be looking away on beyond the world vision, taking the gospel to every creature. And the servant of God should be bearing it up and shouldering and carrying it. There's the figure of the sea, and there's the figure of the oxen. Now I want you to come to a sad thing. And the sad thing is this: the temple priests, or the people of God. Now, one or two things here, one or two lessons, first of all, that I think we need to learn here. And the lessons are this: every morning, after the priests have been to the altar, to the large brazen altar, have been working with the ashes and with the sacrifice of the bullock and so on, and he would be cleansed, he would be unclean with his contact with the ashes and so on. And every morning after the sacrifice was offered, he would come over to the brazen sea. And there I see him sitting on that water as it poured out and cleansed. And then every evening, as the evening offering was offered again on the altar, the priest would leave the altar, come back again to the brazen sea. There I see him in the evening sitting on the cleansing of the brazen sea, the water from the brazen sea. And I see him do it the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and so on and so on. He went first to the altar, and then he went to the brazen sea, and there he had his cleansing. And you know, my friend, as I've sat and looked at that, I see that as a picture of the people of God and what should be their experience daily with the word. You see, every morning, like the priests, we too should go and sit under the precious word of God as it pours forth. And every evening we should know what it is to go and sit down under the word and know its cleansing power and effect in our life. And every day and day after day we should know what that is to sit under the word. Dear child of God, I sing tonight that why many of God's people, their lives are not cleansed the way they should. It's because they're not sitting under the word the way they should. No, it's cleansing effect. I remember some few years back, I was visiting in the dear, with a dear soul, and she said to me, she said, "Mr. Orr, I've been attending some meetings," and she says, "my experience is up and down, it's up and down all the time. And I long for something better and not so erratic." Well, I said to her, what's your experience? She said, well, I go into meetings, and while I'm in these meetings, it's wonderful. Everything's whipped up to the heavens, it's marvelous. And then next day, she says, I'm as flat as can be. Well, I said very simply to her, your experience is all emotional. That's why you're so up and down. And what you need is to steep yourself in the Word of God. And I left the home, and she said to me afterwards, and a year or two afterwards, she said, that day you told me to steep myself in the Word. When you went out, I sat down and said, what could that man mean, steeping yourself in the Word? Ah, my dear friends, we've got to steep ourselves in the Word. Steep our minds in the Word. Steep our thoughts in the Word. Steep our hearts in the Word. Steep our lives in the Word. We've got to know daily what it is to come and sit under the cleansing of the precious Word of God. The priests sat here and knew it. And as I come to these priests here, see them sitting down, and 12 of them could all wash themselves at the mouths of the 12 oxen as the water poured forth from the great sea above. I see the servants, I see the children of God, I see the servants of God, I see the Word of God, and there they are, a little congregation of men, sitting, as it were, being cleansed at the mouths of the servants of God, pouring out the water from the Word of God. And so the whole thing is just to me a picture tonight of the New Testament church that you could find any morning, perhaps in Shankill Baptist Church, or any place where the truth is taught and preached. Let us thank God tonight because of the lesson of this brazen sea. The first thing, immediately after he had been to the brazen altar, he went over to the sea. And the first thing the young convert who has been to the brazen altar of Christ's sacrifice is to get to the sea of God's Word, and there to know what it is to sit down under it and be cleansed daily. Just one or two final thoughts here tonight. Those oxen, as we see them there in the model, I think the Spirit of God was specially careful in choosing the animal, because the oxen was strong. It was a strong creature. And the servant of God must be strong. Strong in his conviction. Strong in his determination to go on and go through with God and the Word. And the oxen were laborious. And the servant of God must be laborious. Night and day laboring in prayer and laboring in the Word. And the oxen were patient creatures, and the servant of God must be patient toward all men. And I see in those oxen a picture and figure of what the servant of God should be. And as they looked out with their world vision, north, south, east, and west, so must the servants of God look out with that vision tonight and be prepared to take the Word of God wherever it should go. In a moment or two, we're going to hear about that from our sister as she shares the world vision of missions to us. But as we just close our thoughts on the brazen sea tonight, remember simply the thing. The Word of God, the sea, vast, great, deep, wonderful. afresh. And the servants of God, the oxen, pouring out of their drinking in, and the priests of God sitting there and enjoying the cleansing as it's poured out from the great sea. That's the figure. That's the picture. May God enable us to experience that. May our local church be like that. And every time we come to the Word, experience its cleansing. Now we're going to have a closing hymn, 1082. 1082. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light. Send the light. Now we'll have verse 2 and verse 4. Spirit of God will fasten this simple vision upon our minds, everyone tonight. Give us this world vision. May we look out north, south, east, and west. May our faces be toward that direction like the oxen. May we be willing and prepared to bear that word, to pour it out in every direction we can. And Father, we pray that as thy children sit under the cleansing of the Word, that it will have a purifying effect upon their lives. We ask, O Lord, that we ourselves may be clean through the Word that thou hast spoken unto us. So take of our thanks and bless thy word of truth to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.